Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Deliverance Live Blog Talk Radio with your host, Apostle Gregory Martin. And for tonight, our co-host is Elder Anthony Mason. For tonight, our panel is, again, Elder Anthony Mason, also Elder Craig Blake, Minister Daniel Martin, Minister April Reeves, and also Minister Yvette Watson, Minister Ken Davis, Minister Antoinette Martin, and also Minister Yvonne Watson, Minister Yvonne Watson. And we're glad for our panel here on today, on tonight. And on last Tuesday, we began to talk about the seven churches and the end time. But yet, what on last Tuesday, we started out telling you how the church got started, and at the same time, what happened down through the generations in reference to the church and how it went through. And so tonight, we will endeavor to continue with the Church of Jesus Christ, and also the seven churches tonight. And for just a recap on from last Tuesday night, we talked to you about that the light of the gospel had shined. God intended it to shine down even to our generation. Giving people the word of God. It was always always a continual trial. We started in the beginning, and at the last of the broadcast, we talked about the Dark Ages and the medieval times, meaning that there was Dark Ages that came up on humanity, and humanity was in trouble because all of the Bibles were taken and the language at that time was Latin, and if you didn't understand Latin, you didn't understand what the Word of God meant. When the Lord said, "Let there be light," God, when He said that, God's light have continued, and it will never be extinguished or snuffed out by the unjust and cruel and wicked people of the world. Not of the world then, or of the world now. For St. John 1:5 says that the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. The children of darkness did not understand what the light of God was all about, or who He is. And for this light, it is Jesus, and therefore they didn't understand Him then, and they don't understand Him now. It's only through the light of the gospel that a person's eyes can be made to come open. So the light was shining continually and shone consistently in a dark time. Even though it was a little light here and a little light there, where it actually began to take on form or take on individuals, beginning with Martin Luther, as we talked about in the last broadcast, which the light of the Lord or the light of the gospel that had to do with being justified by faith came to Martin Luther. And then it was John Calvin, who seen the light of God and understood that all God's people needed to be sanctified. And then it was John Knox. More light was being received. And the thing is, the light that he received was testifying that all God's people need to be baptized. And somewhere in about 1907, the light of the glory of God was not only received and seen and being revealed, but it was actually an infilling of those that were looking for God to fill them again or fill them with the power of the Holy Ghost. So it appears that a second Pentecost, type of Pentecost, happened because, again, the Holy Ghost fell in the world. And people from all over the world came to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And now for years, men and women, churches, preachers, have been able to rejoice in a time of freedom, a time of rejoicing in our churches and magnifying God and worshiping God. But I told you on last Tuesday, I see on the horizon that our freedom again is being threatened by the forces of darkness. Churches have begun to compromise with the truth. Immorality have taken hold, and noted men and women have been perverted in their once standing for God and for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now we have preachers that are talking about a weak form of salvation. And a weak form of salvation is taught, and a cheap form of grace is practiced. Paul, recognizing this, when he wrote in Romans 6:1, that shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. And then in Titus 2:11, the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust, he said, and worldly lust, that we may live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. But this, at this time in the world, the people are talking nothing seemingly but prosperity, worldly prosperity, and fleshly pleasures. Therefore, God, down through the ages, seven churches in which he would embody the spirit of what was going on in those churches, and warn us today about the condition of those churches and then the condition of the churches that are happening today as well as those that are in the future. With all of this being said, I want to now go to our panel. But before we deal with the churches itself, I'd like to call on Minister Kenneth Davis. Minister Kenneth Davis, would you share with us some of the things that you see that's happening in our day and time that we live in, and some of the changes that is taking place that's taking people away from the gospel?
Praise the Lord, Pastor. One of the things that I see is an infiltration of new doctrine. And if you understand infiltration, it's like to secretly enter in or join in order to get information or do harm. One of the things that's been said is Jesus didn't die on the cross. But we know that's a lie, because Matthew 27:35 said, and they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. Another thing that was said is that Jesus had a love child with Mary Magdalene. Hebrews 2:10 said, for it became him for whom all things, by whom all things, in bringing many sons into glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. It wasn't a natural child. It was a spiritual child. John 1:12 said, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. These were spiritual children. And then it was said that Jesus was just a prophet, not the Son of God, our Savior. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by him, and with him was not anything made that was made without him. In him was light, and the light was the light of man, and the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. And there's another thing that I see, practice of inclusion and diversity. In broad terms, diversity and inclusion is a dimension that can be used to differentiate groups and people from one another. It means they're saying to respect and appreciate of differences in gender, age, national origin, disability, sexual orientation, education, religion. They even say that it's safe and it's all right to be gay, to serve whatever God you want, to change your sexual, physical sex from a man to a woman or a woman to a man. But Isaiah 45:5 says, I am the Lord and there is none else. There is no God besides me. Romans 1:26 says, for this cause God gave them up to vile affection. So we know already if all these things are a lie. For even their women did change the natural use, that which is against nature. And likewise, also the men leaving the natural use of the woman burned in their lust one toward another. Men with men working that which is unseemly and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meat. So we understand this is a lie too. And then it get this crazy thinking where some people say it's true that there are as many minds as there are heads. And then there are as many kinds of love as there are hearts. We know that's a crazy way of thinking because Matthew 22:37 says, and Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And on these two commandments hang all the law of the prophets. So that narrows that down. It's a lot of heads out there, so it ain't that many different types of love. There's only one, and that's the love of God through God. And then it says another one they say, there's different roads sometimes lead to the same castle. You know, Oprah teaches this thing, and you can serve whoever you want to serve and do whatever you want to do, and you still can get to God. But John 14:6 says, Jesus said it to him, I am the way, the truth, the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. So they're practicing these things. You're seeing them. They're professing that they're men and women of God, but they're doing the opposite. They're having a form of godliness. But we know 2 Timothy 3:5, 6, and 7 says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses, leading captive silly women laden with sin, led away with divers lust, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. So these things have secretly crept up into the church, and now we are fighting and we are battling these things, even in our government, in our churches, in our schools. They even try to teach our children to grasp hold to these things, that it's okay to be a transgender. It's okay to change your sex. All these things are an abomination unto God, and it is not going to prosper.
It's not going to prosper. I don't care how good it seemed to look. I don't care how good it seemed to feel. It's not going to prosper because of the mere fact the word of God is still the word of God, and heaven and earth will pass away, but his word will not ever pass away. And I thank you, Minister Davis, you covered that real well, what's taking place in today's time. But now, if you will, let me go to Minister Anthony Mason, Elder Anthony Mason. We want to get now into those seven churches and see how that they may relate in some way to the day and time we live in. Elder Anthony Mason, can we hear from you at this point?
Amen. Praise the Lord, Apostle. I guess we start tonight off with one of my favorite churches of the group because of what God told them in the scripture, and that church is Sardis. The reason I say it's one of my favorite because it reminds me of one of my favorite movies. The scripture says that God told them that they look. The scripture says in Revelation, the 3rd chapter, the 1st verse, it said, to the angel of the church of Sardis write, these things saith he that hath 7 spirits of God and the 7 stars. I know thy works, that thou has a name, and that thou has a name that you live or liveth, and art dead. You got a name. Everybody know that you're supposed to be living. You're supposed to be thriving. You're supposed to be a good church. You're supposed to be out there in the forefronts. But at the same time, you are really dead. You look alive. You act like you're alive. You talk like you're alive, but you're really dead. And the reason I say that was my favorite because it reminds me of one of my favorite TV shows, which is The Walking Dead. or one of my favorite movies, which is The Night of the Living Dead, because they're just walking around looking alive, but they're not really alive. They're actually the walking dead. And there are a lot of churches in today's time that are just like that. It reminds me of when Jesus was speaking to the Pharisees, and he said, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you're likened to white sepulchres, and indeed appear beautiful on the outside, but on the inside you're full of dead man's bones, full of uncleanliness." And that's what's going on in the church world today. You got a lot of big churches and a lot of small churches. It don't even matter what size the church is. There are a lot of churches, even as a whole, that look like they're alive. They know how to shout. They know how to dance. They know how to open up their mouth. They know how to lift their hands. They know how to do those things that are routine and tradition, but they have lost the anointing and the Spirit of God, and they have no life in them. It reminds me of the story of when the Ichabod was written upon the door. It said the Spirit of the Lord has departed. And this is what's going on in these churches. But they still have hope, because the scripture also says later on down in the fourth or fifth verse, it said, "But there are still some of you that have not defiled your garments." There's still some of you that wear white, that you can still, there's still a hope for you. But this letter is to the church letting you know that you need to wake up. You think you're alive, but you need to wake up. Stop sleeping. Stop being dead. Let's get revived and come back alive again. Get back to those things that you're supposed to get to, and make sure that we're doing what the scripture says to do. And it said the scripture also, and the last thing said, remember how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. The first thing that the church needs to do, even in today's time and how it relates to today, that we need to repent. No matter what's going on, I look at everything that's going on in the news and everything, the church needs to repent. This church is the church of the living dead, and we can't allow ourselves to become that church as well.
Anything that's dead ought to be buried. And needless to say, there are individuals that are, as you say, that are churches and people that they're just dead. They're just dead. There's no life. And then they'll even look at you funny if you come in there praising the Lord and saying, "Hallelujah, glory to God." I had the whole church turn around and look at me crazy, because I said, "Praise the Lord, preach, preacher." And everybody turned around and looked at me and said, as if I had something that belonged to them and refused to give it back. But nevertheless, let's go to Minister Daniel Martin. We're talking about the seven churches now and the end time. This is the time that we're living in. All right. Minister Daniel Martin, let's hear one of the churches that you're looking at here tonight.
Yes, sir, Pastor Martin. I was reading about the church of Ephesus and how the church and in the city of Ephesus, the temple was one of the seven wonders of the world, because it was so big, and the city was almost like historians says that the city was like New York City of our times, big city, a lot of people inside. But when Jesus wrote the message to him, he wrote the letters to him, he said, "Because I write this letter because y'all have turned against y'all first love, and y'all have left the first love," which is saying y'all have left the word of God. And when you leave the word of God, you start doing what you want to do, and you can't do what you want to do and still live right. So Jesus was telling them that, hey, you left your first love, which is doing the word of God and being in the word of God. And so as it goes along, he said, repent. He's giving them a chance to repent. He's saying, if you leave your first love, repent and turn from your ways and go do the first works, which is go back to the word of God, which is the first love that you have inside of you, because God has put it inside of you. Now then he drops down to say, thou hast hated the deeds of the Nicolaitans and the Nicolaitans. And he described them as a Nicolaitans because the Nicolaitans, they had a peculiar way of living. And it came down to, and it comes down to, basically goes back to, Nicolaitans goes back to the first church. And one of the first deacons of the church, his name was Nicholas of Antioch. But Nicholas of Antioch, he kind of started preaching on the deep end, trying to say, hey, you know, one good deed can get you into heaven. Don't worry about living good, because, hey, you know, give you, we do bad still. And he started preaching all of these crazy ideas. And he's saying, what did you, whatever you do in your flesh won't affect your spiritual life. So that's why God hated it, because he started teaching another doctrine. And so that's why he compared them to the Nicolaitans. And so, but he was telling them to repent and go to the and return back to me. That's what God was telling them, or Jesus was writing a letter of saying, repent and turn back to me. And that's what he was saying to the church of Ephesus. Thank you. Amen.
Oh, God bless you. Now, that is so relevant for today, how that people are leaving the word of God. They're going to church, but they're going to church and they're hearing all kind of different other doctrines, teachings and everything that's making them feel good in a messed up condition. In other words, like the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, as you were saying, Minister Martin, they can, in other words, you can just, as they say, well, just confess that Jesus Christ is your Lord, but you can still live how, your Savior, rather, but you can still live how you want to live. That is, God said, I hate that. I hate that doctrine. You covered it real well, Minister Martin. And then I want to go to Minister April Reeves. Minister April Reeves, would you tell us about one of the churches that you actually studied about? But before you come to that church, Minister Reeves, I want to give the number, 215-383-5866. You can call in your prayer requests. You can call in your questions. And God will give us grace to help you in your understanding. Minister April Reeves, what have you got to say about one of the churches? All right, Minister April Reeves, there evidently there's difficulty on her end. She talked to me earlier tonight, and certain things happened, and lights went out because of the storms and everything, or an accident or something like that. But nevertheless, I guess she didn't actually get back, get
praise
a chance
the Lord,
to come
Pastor.
Back. Wait a minute. There she is after all. All right, come on, Minister Reed.
Praise the Lord, Pastor Martin. Well, the church I have is Philadelphia, and this is a church that God did not rebuke. As a matter of fact, God says, I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man and shut it, for thou hast a little strength and has kept my word and has not denied my name. And God was talking about the people, the saints who were living according to his word, and those that was keeping his commandments, and those that were faithful to him, and those that loved him, and those that went after his own heart. But then God goes and he addressed the hypocrites who say they are Jews but are not. And they do lie. And he's talking about those who have a form of godliness but denying the power. Those who sit in there playing in sin. Those that are being hypocritical. Those that still believe in fornicating but still could come into church praising the Lord. Those that don't want to keep his word or live according to his word, but they still feel like they're going to have a place in heaven. So God was talking about those type of people too. But one thing I love about this church is that God said that he told them, he said, look, behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, and let no man take thou crown. God was telling them, even though I know that you're loving me, you're keeping my word, you're being faithful to me, he was telling them, watch, let no man come and deceive you. Let no man come and seduce you. Let no man come and take your heart from me. He was telling his people that. And I really admire that about God. Amen.
Amen. Amen. There are, okay, on the flip side, there are some churches that God is setting his approval on. We may not know them all, but I'll let you know that it's more than hundreds. There is thousands of churches that God has set his approval on because they're doing everything they can to live for him. I appreciate that, Minister April Reeves, for you coming, actually being able to come on and tell us about these churches, and as well as reminding us that just not anything is going to be accepted unto God. And then I want to give everybody, before we come to our next churches here, I want to remind everybody, 215-383-5866 is the number you call for prayer and also for your questions. All right? But right now we want to go to Minister Antoinette Martin. Minister Antoinette Martin, share with us one of the churches also that is given in the book of Revelations in reference to that time and this time we live in.
Praise the Lord, Pastor Martin. I want to talk about the church of Pergamos. Well, that church dwelt among Satan, and Jesus knew that. Revelations 2 and 13 says, I know thy works and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is, and thou holdest fast my name, and hast denied my faith, what has not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful murder, who was slain among you where Satan dwelleth. So this was a place where they wanted people to worship the emperor, and they were persecuting Christians because they wouldn't worship emperors and they wouldn't do, you know, what they was asking them to do. And Antipas was a murderer. And, you know, they murdered him and they slain him in front of the emperor. And one of the emperors was Emperor Nemo. And he was brought up to the Emperor Nemo, and Nemo said to Antipas, you know that they hate you just for being for Christ and for following Christ. And he said to Nemo, well, if they hate me, then I hate them in return. And so Jesus was telling them, you know, to turn from their ways and come back to me and serve me. And he was against them because they had, you know, they were following the ways of Balaam. And Balaam was a person that caused the Israelites to, you know, to turn against God. And God didn't like that at all. You know, it caused them to hate him. Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right. We're getting ready to go to break here in the next couple of minutes. And by the way, that emperor, I think, instead of Nemo, I think it was Nero that you were trying to say. But anyhow, that emperor was a tyrant. He was really somebody that was out to destroy the Christians. He burned the city of Rome and then blamed it upon the Christians. And therefore, the people in Rome were so mad at him mad at the Christians, the people of Rome were, that they turned around and they imprisoned and put into the arenas many of God's people. So as a result, within Nero, he then turned around and got different ones to come before him. And then here was, as a minister, Antoinette was saying, was the minister, who was called, just slipped my name. He was called, he was a faithful martyr of Jesus Christ. And being a faithful martyr of Jesus Christ, he was killed for the name of Jesus. And as a result, it's because he refused to be identified with the world. And when we refuse to be identified with the world, well, then that means that we may well be identified with Jesus Christ if we believe on him. All right, let's get ready to go to break. As we get ready to go to break, the number is 215-383-5866. And as we go to break, then we'll see you afterwards on the other side of break. This is Apostle Gregory Martin on the other side of break. God bless you. We'll see you then. God bless you. This is Apostle Gregory Martin, and we're on the other side of break. The number is 215-383-5866. Let me just make a quick note. I remember the name of the man that was standing before the Roman emperor. His name was Antipas. And Antipas, he said, I'm against the Roman emperor said, don't you know, man, that the world is against you? He said, well, if the world is against me, I am against the world. And they killed him. Jesus called him his faithful witness that was martyred for his name's sake. But anyhow, moving on, I want to call and ask Sister Yvonne Watson. Sister Watson, do you have one of the churches that you can relate to what God was speaking to them at that time and at this time that may relate to us? Sister Yvonne Watson.
Yes, Pastor Martin, praise the Lord. I do have the church in Thyatira, Revelation 2:18-29. And here we have Jesus speaking, and it describes him with eyes like unto a flame of fire. And when I read that, I was thinking judgment. Scary eyes of Jesus coming on this church. He says in verse 19, I know thy works and charity and service and faith and thy patience and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. I have a few things against thee. You know, this is the longest letter of all of the churches, so I really paid attention to this one. And it says that thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. And this letter actually describes her sin with the depth of Satan. It is full-scale idolatry and full-scale sex sin, and worst of all, tolerance of both. And this is exactly what we've got going on in churches today. They are infiltrated by the world, the occult world, with witchcraft and voodoo and spells. They've got idol worship of Buddha and Kali and Shiva and Vishnu, and to top it all off, they think they can bring them all together with Christianity and make a one-world religion. Well, then you've got churches that tolerate all kinds of vile sex sin, and this was going on there as well. You got homosexuality, bisexuality, you got transgender, you got incest, you got child molestation, just sin everywhere, and people absorbing the sin like they can just live in it happily ever after. But Jesus is speaking, and he says, I will cast her into a bed, verse 22, and them with her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and hearts, and I will give unto every one of you according to your works. And this I really like, because there was a few who wasn't falling into this madness. And he says in verse 24, unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as not have not this doc, have not known the depths of Satan as they speak, I will put upon you none other burden, but that which ye have already, hold fast till I come. And that's what he's telling us here today, all of us who are doing what he said, all of us who are the true church, the pure bride, the virgin, those who are spiritually and physically holy and chaste without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. That's us. And he's telling us to hold on. He said, because we're going to overcome and we're keeping his works unto the end. And we are going to have the power over the nations. And verse 27, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron as the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my father. And I will give him the morning star. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Praise the Lord.
And the Spirit of God is still speaking in these last days. You covered that very well, Sister Yvonne Watson. You covered it real well, how there's so much of so many kinds of new doctrines and religions are trying to become a part of the church that Jesus Christ bought with his own blood. But as you brought it out so well, with these churches, there's no kind of way that that's going to be a part of the church that Jesus Christ shed his blood and died for. And with that being said, I want to go to Elder Craig Blake. Elder Craig Blake, share with us also one of the churches that are in the book of Revelation.
You know, it's so much insight when you're reading about these churches. These are ancient churches from the book of Revelation that we can get lessons to learn from our churches today. That God knew that down through the generations there were going to be similar churches facing similar issues, having similar problems, you know, going through similar trials. So he put these churches in place as examples, you know, for our churches today. And, you know, I had the church of Smyrna. Smyrna was actually a popular city it was a seaport on the coast of Asia Minor. It was about 35 miles north of Ephesus, and it's in the modern-day country of Turkey. Now, the word Smyrna actually translates means myrrh, which is a perfume that is gotten from crushing a plant, and the fragrance comes out. And this is exactly what was happening to the church of Smyrna. They were being crushed through persecution and suffering. And that's exactly what we're seeing now in the churches. More and more we're seeing the persecution of the saints. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12, all who live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And that's what was happening to the church at Smyrna. It says that this church, he says, I know your works and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. You know, God was looking at their faithfulness in the midst of the persecution. And Jesus even prophesied and said, listen, Satan, devil is going to cast some of you into prison, but remain faithful to the end and you shall receive the crown of life. And we see even nowadays there's so much persecution coming against the saints. They're changing the laws of the land. And as believers, when we speak out against it, you know, there's persecution coming against every believer. They're trying to change laws to throw people in prison. They're trying to do all of these things to basically shut the mouth of a Christian, because when we open our mouth and we speak the truth, it's a reproof or a rebuke to this sinful generation. But we have to continue being faithful as saints and as believers and continue to speak the truth in love. We need to continue to speak out what the Word of God says concerning these sins and remain faithful to the end. You know, one other thing I wanted to mention is that, you know, God is not only looking at the spiritual condition of people, he's also looking at the spiritual condition of churches. And one of the reasons that many of these churches are falling into these areas is because of the leadership of these churches. I don't think that's been addressed tonight so far. But you think about it, a lot of the reasons why these churches are falling into sinful behavior are lukewarm is because they're not they don't have overseers that are teaching and preaching the gospel the way they're supposed to be taught. The Bible says in Acts 20:28, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost have made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he have purchased with his own blood. So some of the blame has to go to some of these overseers that's not overseeing, some of these pastors that's not guiding and shepherding their flock the way that God would have them to do. So repentance is in order, not only for those that are in the church, but also for some of the leadership of some of these churches that are going astray. But I thank God for the true church that's remaining faithful to the end, and the Bible declares we shall receive a crown of life.
Amen. And there is an end. There is an end coming. Interesting that you would bring out, and if I understood you right, Elder Blake, you said the word Smyrna mean mirth. I think about mirth, and from this standpoint of some sweet-smelling savior or sweet-smelling fragrance. And as a result, I kind of look at, if I understood you right, kind of look at this, that in that church of Smyrna, then there were some saints that, because of the lifestyle that they were living for God, well, then it was like a sweet-smelling fragrance that was coming up before God. But on the other hand, for those that were not living for God, well, then they were looking, if you will, possibly judgment in the face, which eventually happened to all of the churches that were there. But I hope I understood you right, because I saw a couple of things that came out of there. You know, sometimes fragrances can come in either a bad odor or bad fragrance or a good fragrance. And if Smyrna meant that, if I understood you properly, if that's what it meant, well, then it produces both the positive and the negative, the good and the bad. All right? I want to move on right now, though. I may want to come back to you a little bit on that Church of Smyrna. But I want to move on to Minister Yvette Watson. Minister
Amen.
Yvette Watson. Yes, yes. Hold up, Minister Watson. Yes, sir.
Amen. We have a couple of questions tonight. I don't see us getting to all of them, but I do want to put the first question in, which is Minister Chris from California.
Okay.
Amen. He has a question, and we have some other questions after that, if we can get to them tonight.
Okay.
Amen. Minister Chris, you're on there.
Oh, praise the Lord. Good evening, everyone. I have to ask this question only because I need clarification. I know what I believe, and I'm understanding what I'm reading. I believe I am, but I just want to know if I'm on the right track. And, you know, and it's dealing with, you know, some of these false doctrines and these teachings. And, you know, and I ran to a sister who, you know, in the church, and she's a minister, and she's asking me, you know, can you have the Holy Ghost and not speak in tongues? And I said no. You know, every scriptural evidence that I see in the Bible, everyone that received the Holy Ghost, they spake with tongues. Initially, that's the evidence. And so she's teaching and she's telling people that, you know, there's a level. You can have a level of the Holy Ghost and not have, not have all the giftings and not have the ability to speak in tongues, but you can have a level. And in my mind, there's no level to the Holy Ghost. Either you have them or you don't. And so I just want to have understanding tonight.
Well, Chris, I believe that you're definitely on target because of the mere fact, and it's good hearing from you. And praise the Lord, I hope you and your wife is doing well. But as you are on target, Chris, on tonight, because of the mere fact is that although St. John 14 and 17 says that Holy Ghost, He abides with you and shall be in you. But once he comes in you, he comes in with his own language. His own language is speaking in the heavenly language, as we know, speaking in tongues. When you buy when you buy a shoe that has shoe strings in it, you got a tongue. You don't have to buy the tongue separately because the tongue comes with the shoe. And when you got the Holy Ghost, within the tongue or that heavenly language come with the Holy Ghost. You find this in Acts 2 and 4, and at the same time you'll find it in Acts 10 and 44. You'll find it in Acts 19 and about 5 and 6, within where anybody, as you said to the woman, that speak in tongues, that have the Holy Ghost, then the tongues come with the Holy Ghost. So when you got him, then he comes and he brings his own language. Because the Holy Ghost is from he's a person from another planet, from another place, from another country, and he brings his own language. Very well done, Chris, in talking to the woman. You were speaking the truth.
Amen. Thank you.
Oh, sure, Chris, at any given time.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Another question? Go ahead.
I do have one. I'm going to try to squeeze him in. He's calling from Southern California.
Okay.
And he has a question as well. Mr. Joe?
Hello? Hello?
Mr. Joe, you're on the air, sir.
Okay, hello. How are you? Yes, I do. I have often heard, I just want some clarification on, and I'm speaking about Isaiah chapter 45, okay, and I'm speaking and referencing verse 5, 6, and 7, where God is speaking to Cyrus. And I've asked this question a couple times, and I have yet to get any clarity, okay, and I'm referencing the King James Bible. And the idea that evil came from Satan, and that Satan created evil. When in verse 5, he says, "I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. I gird thee, though thou hast not known me." Verse 6, "that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west, that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is none else." Verse 7, "I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things." So, how do we get from a God who does it all, who created all the heavens and the earth? And then we come to this idea about Satan. This is what he did. When God clearly said that there's nobody but him.
Okay.
And he is the creator of all things.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So I would like to just get some, know how, what your view is on this particular chapter and this particular voice about evil. Now, I told the, Brother Anthony this, that I have searched a number of Bibles, and what I've noticed is as you get away from the King James Bible and start getting into these other translations, these new Bibles, these different terms, they change that. They actually change that those scriptures. They no longer say that.
You're right, sir. What's your name again, sir? Excuse me again.
Joseph.
What's your name?
Joseph. I'm Joseph, and I'm a dreamer like Joseph in the Bible too. Believe you me.
Okay. Praise the Lord. All right, Joseph, I appreciate you calling in, and I'm going to try to quickly give an answer to this question. God is,
thank you.
God is always God. God is the creator of all things. What he did, he created the archangel Lucifer, and which you will find in Isaiah, the 14th chapter, the 12th, 13th, 14th, and 15th verses, where Lucifer, he was called the son of the morning. He was called the son of the morning, or he was the archangel or the guardian. Let me see if I can simplify it. By reason of time, it's getting away from me. He was over, if you will, a light bearer in heaven. But the Bible said, and then in the 28th chapter of the book of Ezekiel, you speak about it, talking about the king of Tyrus, but then it goes on down and speak about the king of Tyrus again, speaking about a natural king at first, and then, but this is a spiritual king that the Lord is speaking about, because he said that thou were made, that thou were perfect in the days that you were created in Ezekiel, the 28th chapter, until iniquity was found in you. So God created Lucifer, but then again, God, if you will, seen evil. He's seen Lucifer being lifted up in pride and trying to exalt his throne above the stars of God in the 14th chapter of Isaiah, and then declaring that he's going to set up on the congregation of the mouth in a congregation in the sides of the north and ascend up into the heights of heaven. God seeing this archangel going bad because of pride setting up in him. Said, okay, I created you, Lucifer, but yet I also, from the standpoint of where evil has come in, seeing that you took this position and allow yourself to try to overthrow me, well, then as a result, I've seen the evil. So, okay, I just went on and created the evil that also that I've seen in you. In other words, I'm not giving you no credit at all for doing anything or creating anything, because I create good, I create evil, I create light, I create darkness. I do all these things. It's just like, if you will, the children of darkness today. Well, then God says, all souls are mine. As the soul of the Father, Ezekiel 18:4. So also is the soul of the Son. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. God was saying to Satan at that time, he said, wait a minute. I'm allowing the evil to take place because, in other words, in his sovereign act, he's got another purpose. That's why God, when Jesus came, he came to destroy not the devil, but the works of the devil. When he came to destroy the works of the devil, therefore, in order for life to be, Joseph, in order for life to be understood and life to, as a slave and born again person, to be recognized how beautiful it is, we've got to have like a battery post. We've got to have the good and the evil. In other words, the positive and the negative, what I'm trying to say, in order for us to turn around and appreciate life. The car needs a positive and a negative to run, and we need both the enemy to be there, and God allows this in order for we to know where we are, to know what we need to do, how we need to grow closer to him and trust in him. So I'm sorry, Joseph. I'm running out of time now. God, I want to come back on Tuesday, and I want to discuss more of this concerning what we're talking about, because I'm a little rushed, and I want to make sure I answer your question well, and we want to deal with it, again, according to the scriptures. Joseph, I appreciate your calling. I appreciate your calling, Chris. I appreciate the other callers. But right now, it's time for me to pray for our Blog Talk listeners. I'm going to come back on Tuesday night. Please tune in, and we're going to discuss these things even more so. But right now, Father, in the name of Jesus, for all of our listeners in every place and all over the country, those that are taking in the word of God, those that are listening, those that are wanting our understanding of the word of God, thank you for your anointing that not only destroy every yoke and break every yoke, but that will turn around and open up the eyes of everyone that needs their eyes to be opened by your spirit and by your word. Thank you, Jesus. Now for those that are sick and suffering, those that are bound, cast down, troubled, oppressed, God, heal them, move in their lives. And in Jesus' name, we ask all of these things, and we thank God for Jesus Christ and for the Deliverance Live broadcast. This is Apostle Gregory Martin, and I'll see you on Tuesday night. I've got to give it to the hands of our co-host, Elder Anthony Mason. All right, Elder Mason.
Amen. Thank you, Apostle. We'd like to thank you for listening in to Blog Talk Radio tonight. We want to say a special thanks to our callers tonight. If we did not get a chance to answer your question tonight, please, please, please call back on Tuesday night. We'll be happy to answer your question, accept all your prayer requests, and make sure we acknowledge all of our listening audience. Thank you for listening to Blog Talk Radio tonight. We ask that you join us again on next week, where we continue answering questions and continue the subject from next week and Thursday night. We thank you for joining us at Deliverance Unlimited International Church, 2426 Fabron Road, Atlanta, Georgia. Thank you again for listening in, and God bless you, and good night.
Everybody clap your hands. It's a wrap. That's all you got. That's all you got. That's all you got.
Your voice and say now, you have won it all for me, and
stretch out your hands, stretch out your hands, stretch out your hands.